sounds so good, don't it? Most of you don't even know whose song this is. You probably never heard this song before, have you? It's Michael Franks' St. Elmo's Fire. It's a nice little vibe. Anyway, this is going to be a short episode. But I wanted to get into Marvel a little bit. I saw Ant-Man with my daughter a couple nights ago, and it was literally the worst movie I ever seen out of Marvel. It was literally just green screen. That's all it was. It was like the bare minimum of special effects. But there's a reoccurring theme when they get into certain actors playing villain roles. So now, not only did the Ant-Man have Jonathan Majors as a villain, which is a black villain, they also, in the new Guardians of the Galaxy, have a black villain. And they kind of, when you see the trailer for the new Guardians of the Galaxy, and you just listen to the script of these black villains, it sounds so much like, yeah. They kind of start off with the phase, like they go through phases, right? And they kind of start off the phase ending with Endgame, where Thanos, basically the most powerful being in all the universe, and he collecting the stones and gems, which if you look at the breastplate of the prophets, that they had specific stones on their breastplates. Like I said, when it comes to this truth, they have to pull it from somewhere. They just don't make these things up. As smart as Stanley or creative as Stanley is, it all comes from somewhere. Just like most of the black superheroes, teenage and adult black superheroes have like a power of electricity. Why they have a power of electricity? Because the melanin in our skin is like a conductor of electricity. That's where they pull it from. That's just why they have Static Shock. I think Jamie Foxx's character, his name was Electro. That's why there's a lot of black superheroes with the electricity as their power. But anyway, back to Marvel. So if you look at the new phase that they're rolling out, they're having these black superheroes, these black villains being the destroyer of worlds, which is where, if you go through scripture, it's the same thing that the Most High has said, that he would be the destroyer of worlds, that Yahushua would be the destroyer of worlds. So if you ever watch Ant-Man, listen closely to everything Jonathan Majors says in his role. I don't think he's a particularly great actor. I think they did him like Chadwick Boseman. When Chadwick Boseman came out, they put him in every black civil rights movie, that like Jackie Robinson, Thurgood Marshall. That was just to build him up, to make him the spokesman of black people. Then you saw him in Black Panther, and then we know the history with that. So they're doing the same thing with Jonathan Majors. He's 33. You know why they doing this with Jonathan Majors? Because he has that iconic 1965 civil rights Negro face. He just does. He has an old man's face. He literally looks like y'all grandfather back in the 40s, 30s, and the 1800s. That's why they use him. They use him because he's a perfect person to use in the roles that he's been introduced in. If you saw Lovecraft, where, of course, it was set in, 1960s, where there was racism. If you saw, it was in a movie with, I can't think of his name. The guy was in Batman. The new Batman, not the new Batman, but the Batman that had the four movies or whatever, the trilogy. He was in with him called a movie called Hostiles, which was like a Western, an old school Western, and we're battling it out with just random people, especially Indians. And he was part of the Northern Infantry. And if you watch that movie and watch his role is a role of thanking, for the most part, thanking the white man for being allowed to serve with him. That's what his role was in Hostiles. If you go to his other role, Harder They Fall, when it was a Western, he's going against his last main character he goes against, or the villain, as a black man. So if you go to Devoted, which is a story that no one's ever heard of, a story of a black pilot is like the first black pilot to fly with this specific infantry. And of course, he goes through racism and he befriends a white pilot and he dies for the country. He dies for this particular mission because he wants to be accepted. And then you go to Creed. Creed is he fighting against another black man. So it's like I said, if you go through his history and you go through what they're trying to do with these movies, they're literally trying to make it, they're trying to make us or indoctrinate us with fighting for America in the last days and then fighting against each other to prove a point. Because they know that we always had each other's necks. But in his role in Ant-Man, he says so many things about that it would, you could equate it with Yahusha, you could equate it with Yahuwah saying it. So the last phase, I think, of Marvel is to really bring out who the enemy is in these last days. And we all know who, in this world, their enemy is. Their enemy is the Most High. So I suggest you to watch that movie and just, if you could just bypass all the garbage green screen and special effects and just listen to his, just listen to what he says. It sounds exactly like scripture. If you look at the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, trust me, it sounds exactly like scripture. There's a reason why they're starting to put black villains at the end of these movies, at the end of this phase that they're on. Because they try to prepare people and tell them, like, yo, they know the Most High is black. If you go through scripture, they know. This description of what he looks like, or what he appeared to look like, comes from scripture. So they're not dumb. They know exactly what they're doing. It's just the people who are too dumb to understand it because they're so trapped in Western traditions, especially when it comes to Christianity and Catholicism. They just don't know no better. But that's what they're doing. They're mocking you with it. It's the same thing when they do with the next pandemic. Bill Gates been telling us, I don't know, for the last 2 years, that the next pandemic was going to be worse than the COVID one. And right now, what are you seeing? You're seeing H1N1 virus that's taken over. Not saying take it over, but it started to bubble up out of India. It started to bubble out in certain places. And right now, it could be more cases happening right now, but they're not going to tell you because we're still trying to push this climate change through. They're trying to push all this in very small amounts of time. Like 7 years, that's a lot of groundwork that has to happen for us to get to Agenda 2030. I mean, the banking has to collapse. We have to fully believe that the climate change is the reason why, or the climate is the reason why things are happening the way it's happening, like the earthquakes in Syria. But if you actually look up an old article of Tesla talked about there that he had a weird device. This was the headline that I saw. There's an old article. This had to be like the 1900s or the 1800s or whenever he was born. But it was an article talking about how there was a weird device that he had that could make earthquakes at will. So all the DARP and HARP and nonsense that they try to hide from you, they're going to try to fool you and think that this is climate change. So in order for us to believe climate change, you have to have inclement weather in certain places that they usually don't have this particular type of weather, like snowing in California. That's not normal. But people, after a while, you think it's normal. But you would think it has to do with the climate change. It's not. It's them toying with the ionosphere. Why do you think they crop dust or spray the sky every time you see those planes in the air? Why do you think they do that all day? They agitate the weather. They agitate the clouds. And I'm telling you, they're not agitating the entire firmament, like all the way up to the firmament. It's literally only the very lowest level of the lowest level of frequency that they put out on media. It's literally the lowest level that we could see that something would be wrong with the weather. If you go above that, go 3 or 4 levels above that, hey, man, it's clear skies. Everybody who flew in a plane know exactly what I'm talking about. When you go up to 35,000 feet, what do you see when you look down? You see another layer of clouds. We know it's so many levels before we even get to the top of the firmament. So we know this is not the Most High's doing. This is they're doing. But the Most High is going to allow it to carry on because he knows Satan has to get to his world. And this is more or less, like I said before, a practice session or a training session and us to prepare ourselves because what he's going to do is going to be a lot worse than what Satan and them are going to do because we can pick what they're going to do out. We could do this by numerology and gematria. Just like that bank collapse. Remember I posted on my main account, I posted about a guy who was trying to hijack a plane. I don't know what he was doing. Hijack it or stab somebody, but it didn't make any sense. He flew from L.A. into Boston. Now, mind you, that's almost a 6 to 7 hour flight. You trying to tell me this man kept quiet the entire flight, and then when it was the 45-minute time period of descent, he started to get up and start talking. And the two cell phone footage you get is of a husband and wife. I seen two cell phone footages come from the same relationship or the same couples. Nobody else. What you see when you look at him, he's surrounded by men. And he's sent around for one big black guy that was sitting behind him. So it just seemed like it was like a gatekeep situation. He gets up and starts talking about all these people going to die. Everybody going to die in this plane. Fam, we landing. How is everybody going to die on this plane and we about to land? Into Boston. It didn't get diverted. When he had this whole entire rant, no one told him to shut up. No one said sit down. Usually the flight attendants will come over and say, hey, you better chill out. No one did nothing. They let him talk and spew all this stuff that he was saying. This whole rant, they just let him talk. No one said shut up. The pilots didn't even, on the intercom, didn't even say anything to him either. But he started talking about, oh, I'm called Balthazar. He said this three times. I'm Balthazar. God named me Balthazar. Why would he bring Balthazar up? In Western Christian tradition, Balthazar was supposedly one of the wise men that delivered myrrh or frankincense or whatever to the baby Jesus. That's not true. Like I said, it's a westernized tradition that the Roman Catholic Church brought up and the Christians adapted it or Hellenized it. Like everything else they do, they Hellenize scripture and make it turn into a Roman and Greek thing. So if you actually listen to it, it's hilarious. But he gets up with this little tiny, I don't know, like a pin, and tries to stab one of the flight attendants in the neck, which he just swung and they tackled him. They jumped right on him. As soon as he started walking towards the front of the plane, they jumped on him. And that was it. And they landed. And I'm pretty sure you don't hear nothing else about that story. You don't see footage of them coming on a plane or police coming on a plane, snatching him up. You ain't going to see none of that. Why they do that? Because if you go and look up Balthazar, he died January 6th. His feast day is January 6th, which is basically 1-6, which is 16th. And I keep talking about the Tower card. The 16th Tower card is the card of destruction in tarot. Like, you go through old school Wiccan and witchcraft. Go through all, like, I'm not saying believe in it, but go through those things. They use the numerology. They use anything to make their point subliminal. So the Tower card is about destruction. And what is the destruction foretelling? The bank collapse. So 2-3 days after this supposed hijacking of the plane, Silicon Valley Bank fails. It's run on deposits. It's getting taken over by the FDIC. And not only that, nearly half of all U.S. venture capital-backed startups were involved with the Silicon Valley Bank. Now, if you go to Gematria, which is numerology, and you type in Silicon Valley Bank, if you go to Sumerian, the Sumerian part of it, it's 1116. That's 16 in there. If you turn it upside down, it's 911. It's the same thing. They've been telling you, just like they told us with 9/11. They keep showing you in TV and movies and music and even old school album covers that they were going to knock those towers down. They doing the same. We're living now in the time that we can understand their numerology and symbolism so we can point it out. And I've been telling people they're going to do this. So, of course, the 16th largest bank in the world is Silicon Valley Bank. That's not by accident. If you type in Silicon Bank in Gematria and go all the way down to Chaldean, which is the Babylonians, it's 33. They picked these banks. Ain't none of this stuff random. But if you don't know like a little bit of numerology, then you're going to be lost, really. Because it's not like the Most High. He has his time period. And you know Satan imitates or mocks whatever the Most High does. And he does everything by numerology. He does everything by numbers. You think this whole bank collapse is going to fall on a random Wednesday? No, it's going to fall on a day that they know of. It's going to have a 33 in it. It's going to have 9/11 in it. It's going to have 16 in it. It's going to have all the numerology that I've been talking about on this show and on my Instagram pages. It's going to be in this specific collapse. That 12-week pilot program, it ends next year. And it's around February, March that it ends. And this is, like I say, it comes right after winter, comes right after what the WHO wants to do with their zero draft preparation for the next pandemic. And they just had this meeting in March, and they said by next year they're gonna have a zero draft ready to handle another pandemic. And I'm telling you, they already had that plan. They wouldn't call Agenda 2030 and then say, "Oh, we have a zero draft plan. We just throwing darts at a dartboard, and we just can make up anything, and we just, you know, strategically add on to it or take away from it." Trust me, they had this plan all ready to go. They just telling y'all so you think like, oh, when things fall down, you could blame it on, oh, we're not even in the first draft of this plan to prepare us. When really we are, that's the final draft. When they say zero draft, it's the final draft, fam. They already have this ready to go. They plan this stuff decades to 100 years already out. It's literally nothing that's going to should be a surprise to you. And when that next pandemic comes out, trust me, it's going to be on a numerology date. But that's really all there is at this point in time. That's the only thing that's going on. It's nothing really going on with celebrities. It's just after a while you stop wanting to pay attention to celebrities and the stupid stuff they do. And you know, it's just after a while it's corny. It's lame. They really don't do anything. And you stop wanting to know. A lot of people who are still trying to, they won't go into finding out how to save themselves through scripture. What they're trying to do is trying to save themselves by exposing celebrities. So exposing celebrities literally is not going to get you a front seat to heaven. It really isn't. There's a lot of people who are in religions who aren't really following or serving the Most High that are exposing celebrities, but that ain't go. That's not a ticket. That's not a ticket to salvation. Wouldn't you rather be obedient to scripture rather than be obedient to exposing celebrities? They're doing what they're actually doing, what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to make you, you know, run amok and lead you astray and make you believe in all these weird sexualities, genders, and perversions. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, which is why I don't pay attention to it as much as I used to anymore. Like, most people love celebrities. I never loved celebrities to a point where I was, oh my God, I gotta be them. I was around them, but it was whatever. But most people, their personalities and their style comes from a celebrity. So that's why I talk more about celebrities, to get people detach themselves from these specific entities that they're are controlled by. Like, I still remember 4 years ago when TMZ had me on, they did have me do an interview about Colin Kaepernick. And I told people straight out the door, he was a sellout. I can already tell he was. No way in the world that you're going to accuse the NFL owners of being racist and then take a hush deal and don't expose them. And then walk out with your Kuta Kinte shirt on and an afro, which you have never worn your entire life. Now we fast forward 4 years later. Now you coming out with a children's book talking about cornrows is like that's the key to blackness as a hairstyle. It's literally silliness. That's all it is. It's silliness. But that's what you get when you get Prince of Freemasons and Greek fraternity members. That's all that is. It's so stupid. I really don't understand how people still fall for it, but people fall for it. And it's usually people who are insecure and invalidated. And that's the type of people who need celebrities and need Greek fraternities and Greek sororities. And they need Prince Hall Freemasonry because you feel invalidated. And that comes from however you were raised. And obviously I don't even think that dude fully black. I think he may be half black, but being raised in a white household, you have no identity. And you didn't find your blackness until literally they told you to kneel. And the only reason why they told you to kneel, because the coach didn't like you and the coach wasn't going to play you. And this goes all the way back to how they set up gematria in professional sports. Even if he talked about coming back, fam, he left the game with a 70 QBR quarterback rating. 70. That's the lowest of somebody being a starting quarterback. He wasn't going to be that good anyway. Even if he didn't kneel, he continued to play. Trust me, Jamarcha wasn't going to be able to save this person's career. And it'd be stupid for him to go back in the league. It'd be dumb at this point. Because you can't fix talent. You could fix the system and fix where the ball is and fix the numerology of it, but fam, you got to still throw it. You got to get it there. There's no way in the world they bring him back, because the success and failures, it would be on whatever they use him for. He go out there and get sacked and bum rushed, and then try to do a PSA about civil rights movements. It ain't going to hit the same. It's better for them to just do what he's doing now. Making everything about race, making everything about black and white. Now that he wants you to know that his mom said it, you know, is being racist to him because she didn't want him to wear cornrows. And then they bring up Allen Iverson. And everybody knows Allen Iverson's got to be one of them already, because he was broke. I'm not saying living on the street, but he was panhandling. And I think it was at a Maryland or Virginia mall that he was panhandling. He was that broke. And they were trying to get him back into the league with the big three and all that. That's them giving them deals. That's what they do. They save people's career. People who have nowhere else to go, they save their careers. And people make fun of Delonte West, but he could easily sign himself over and say, all right, rehabilitate me. But he's gone. I think a lot of that had to do with that thing with LeBron and his mom. Because there's no coincidence that all of a sudden you heard that story about Delonte sleeping with LeBron's mom, and then he got shipped off, and then he from shipped off to being a crackhead. I mean, that happened very, very fast. But anyway, I don't like talking about celebrities and stuff for this whole show. But I tend to go back to the Book of Jasher. I know that Passover is coming up, so sometimes I get into the mood, or the spirit puts me in the mood to read the Book of Jasher again. So I try to start off at 1, and right now I'm at, you know, around the 30s and the 40s. But I really didn't take a step back and understand that Jacob and Esau were twins, but Rivka, or Rebecca, was, you know, sent Jacob to marry someone within our bloodline, or within her circle, and not the Canaanite women. But he sent him down to Laban, her brother, to marry his first cousins. And I didn't even realize it, but Rachel and Leah are also twins. And it's funny that they had these children and none of them were twins. They never, that twin gene usually carries over, but it never carried over. But I started going through actually what Laban believed in. And if you go to Jasher 31, it talks of Rachel stealing her father's images. And she took them and she concealed them upon the camel upon which she sat, and she went on. Jasher 31:41. And this is the manner of the images, and taking a man who was the firstborn and slaying him, and taking the hair off his head, and taking salt and salting the head and anointing it with oil, then taking a small tablet of copper or a tablet of gold and writing the name upon it, and placing the tablet under his tongue, and taking the head with the tablet under the tongue, and putting it in the house, and lighting up lights before it and bowing down to it. And at that time, when they bow down to it, speaks to them in all matters they ask of it through the power of the name which is written in it. To me, that's crazy. But I know the Marine Corps, when, I don't know if they still do this, but don't the Marine Corps, when the dog tags, when the guy dies, they take the dog tag off and they put the dog tag in between his teeth and kick his jaw shut. So if the body is lost or whatever like that, his identification can be found in his mouth. I just thought that was interesting. But it was just weird to me that even Rilkwa's brother was into witchcraft. And then a lot of people at that time were into witchcraft. And I think, like, why would the Most High send Jacob down there to work for a man who had witchcraft all through his house? Basically demonology all through his house. And then I thought up to today, like, what do people do to try to consult spirits? And how does that relate to our walk? So I'm thinking, like, the reason why Yah sent Jacob down there to get Rachel, and the reason why Jacob went down and got tricked into marrying the sister that he didn't want, and then end up leaving with both sisters, was literally like the Most High having patience or mercy or grace with his children. So knowing that Jacob was gonna rescue these children away from their father, so they wouldn't believe in what, you know, basically believe in his foolishness and get them cast out and get them punished or destroyed. So I just think the way Most High sets things up is for us to come in contact with people who are truly not in our walk or trying to be in our walk, but at the same time saving them through grace. And that's not literally our doing; it's his doing that does it. But it was just surprising to me that we think once we come into this walk that we should be already equally yoked with someone of our choosing or somebody. Everybody should just be at our same level, and it doesn't happen that way. Some of us are chosen to save. Some of us are chosen to be unequally yoked until we are equally yoked, or some of us just to wander until we find that place where we're in isolation enough to understand what has to be done in order to save ourselves first, then become a valuable covering for somebody else. And this is what this walk is all about. It's not going to be the same story every single time. We're all on different parts. We're all on different levels. We're all on different strategies of how we really go through this life. So when I looked at the situation between Rachel and Leah, I just thought that was surprising to me. I don't know if I didn't pick up on it before, but in Jasher 31:43, and some make them in the figures of men of gold and silver and go to them in times, know to them, and the figures receive the influence of the stars and tell them future things, in which this manner were the images which Rachel stole from her father. So basically she stole these images because she knew her father was in contact with demons and spirits that could tell them things. So she knew, like, all right, when Rachel and Leah was taken away from their father, because Jacob was like, I don't want him to do anything else to me. He changed my wages more than 10 times. He made me work 7 years, then added more 7 years to get the daughter that I wanted, then made me work a 6 additional years. So Jacob was literally in service 20 years to get the women that he wanted. And so he's like, I'm not going to do this anymore. So I'm just going to get my stuff and get up and go. And at that time, I think Rachel and Leah were, you know, one of them weren't pregnant or barren or whatever, but he wanted to get them up out of there. And so in doing so, she took and stole her father's images. And apparently him consorting with demons probably worked, because they wouldn't took those images if it didn't work. So back in those days, I'm pretty sure that the demons and spirits were a high influence in those days. And Levon came home and he asked concerning Jacob and his household, and he was not to be found. And Levon sought his images to know where Yaakov had gone, and could not find them. And he went to some other images, and he acquired of them, and they told him that Yaakov had fled from him and to his fathers to the land of Canaan. So my man had backup idols, backup images. And what they do, they say it's the firstborn. They take the firstborn, which means they blood sacrificing the firstborn, taking the hair off the head and doing all this. It's wild. And today we frown up and cringe when we hear celebrities blood sacrificing their own relatives. We are shocked at that. But if you read scripture, blood sacrificing has been around for ages. It was normal, just like it's about to be normal now. I'm telling you, it's going to come to a point in day we're going to probably see a live blood sacrifice, and everybody's going to be so dumbed down and so vibrationally low, we will accept it. As long as it looks like art, as long as it looks like a Brina Abramovich, as long as it's laid out like art, trust me, people are going to be like, oh, cool. And that's the sad part. But that's where we're headed. All this stuff is being revealed to show you that this is what has been going on since the days of old. The Book of Jubilees, the Book of Joshua, which I tell people, if you get the Sefer, this is how you should start. You should start with the Wisdom of Solomon, read that straight through. You should read then the Book of Enoch, read that straight through. Then read Joshua straight through, then Jubilee straight through. From there, that's all you need to see, all here. The Spirit will carry you over after that. And then you'll stumble into Ezra and Baruch and the last days that are describing the prophecy that's going to happen these days, just like the Book of Revelation. But the books of Ezra and Baruch are vital because it literally gives you and a deeper insight of what's truly going to happen and who it's going to happen to. I mean, the Most High has been saying that before. If you go to Jeremiah 30, it says, "For I am with you, says Yahuwah, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered you. Yet I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure and will not leave you altogether unpunished." So every time since the days of Egypt all the way to now, everywhere we have gone, every civilization that we have gone in captivity to has all been destroyed. All of them have been destroyed. There's no stopping that. I said this before on this show. Is that every nation that we went through, after they serve their purpose in punishing us and we understanding who we are and we coming out and we walk correctly, they've been destroyed afterwards. Nebuchadnezzar was destroyed afterwards. The Persians were destroyed afterwards. The Greek, you know, it was destroyed afterwards. You thought Pompeii was just some fluke, the mountain just blew up for no reason? No. People died. Pompeii ain't that far from Rome in Greece. But it's been foretold. So what do you think is going to happen in America? Why do you think train derailments and all this stuff? We haven't even got to the Most High's part. But this is, like I said, the training day of what they're trying to do. They think this is destroyed. They think this is prophecy. Just like that 1948 Balfour Declaration of Israel. They want you to think that fake land over there was prophecy. It's not. Because the Most High would not put his people in a land where he fighting for a land no bigger than New Jersey with people who are Muslims or Islam. And damn, they don't win no wars. When y'all ever seen Islam or any Muslims win a major war without the CIA? You don't. They're like pawns and puppets. And people think they have a larger influence. They do not. Oh, it's the fastest growing religion. Man, religion is the fastest growing religion. Anything you can put your hands on that you don't have to walk in a specific type of laws, people will gravitate to it. You could say Christianity is the fastest growing religion. But it's just all religion. Religion is the fastest growing anything. So, but like I said, we here now. We in America. So basically, this is going to get tore up too. People holding on to it as if like this is going to be the end all when it comes to the lands of this world. It's not. This is literally the beginning of the end, and it's the end of the beginning. Like it's starting to carry over. It's going to be another life after this. People think Book of Revelation means the whole world going to go up in smoke. It's not. Majority of it is. But the Most High wouldn't say the end of the world is Esau and the beginning of it is Yaakov that follows. He would not say that if there wasn't going to be a new world after this, where everything else goes back to where it's supposed to go back. Like the wicked had their reign. They had a long reign. We going to, like the children of Jacob, like David and all them going to come back. It's going to be a longer reign. When nation's going to be actually taught the right and proper way. But before that, 60% of all people of certain nations are going to be destroyed. I don't make these numbers up. It's in Zephaniah or Zechariah, I think. 2/3 of every nation. That's even our nation. 2/3 of the Israelites, 2/3 of Japheth, 2/3 of Edom, 2/3 of Yavinim, 2/3 of Ashkenaz, every nation. I'm not talking about countries, I'm talking about peoples. Every 2/3 of every nation is going to be destroyed, which means 2/3 of the wickedness. This is why people think the Most High is gone, that the prophecy doesn't, because you don't see, you don't hear, and you see people dying and all that. He told those angels, wait till the crop gets to where it's perfect and where it's ripe. Then I'm going to get my sickle out. Then I'm going to get my glittering wet sword out. Then I'm going to tread the grapes. Then there's going to be bloodshed. Everybody has to get to where righteousness is righteousness and wickedness is wickedness. That's where the separation is. It's not going to be like it was before. It's not going to be Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, people having butt sex, let me destroy this now. Ain't going to be none of that. It's going to be let you go through it so the divide can happen. Then one part, which is the wheat, goes into the barn, and the other part, which is the tares, goes into the fire. And the only way you could do that is so you don't cut down the wheat with the tares is to let them grow and see exactly who ends up on the perfect side and who ends up on the wicked side. So wherever you are in your walk, You either you're going into the tares or you're going into the wheat. And I don't make this up. This is all scripture. But if you go to Jeremiah 30, he says this, and he said this many times before when he's dealing with the Israelites, dealing with his children, when it came to being disobedient. He said, there is none to plead your cause that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They seek you not, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquity, because your sins were increased. Why cry you for your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable. For the multitude of your iniquity, because your sins were increased, I have done these things unto you. Now that's why in Ezra, he says, in Ezra Baruch, he says, don't multiply sins in your household. And I, myself, I'm more careful with that than I ever been. Like walking on eggshells type of thing. Especially when you go through different emotional turmoils and setbacks and disappointments, your first inclination is to go back into sin and full-blooded sin. I'm not talking about half sin. I'm talking about go back. And that's why I keep telling you, like, don't. Like, I understand you want to go through this narrow path and you want to kind of graze and bump against the walls. But damn, don't leave the path you're on to go all the way back, because that's where you're going to run into these type of scriptures. Don't nobody want to be wounded with an enemy you can't fight and see. That's the worst. It's not like walking outside and saying, hey, for your sins, you got to fight me. You be like, all right, cool, I'm going to fight it out. But imagine you go through this life, you don't have no idea where this enemy is going to come from. You don't know what this enemy could look like. It could look digital. It could look like a relative. It could look like a lover. It could look like a frenemy. It could look like your work, your job, what you do for a living. Anything could be your enemy to cheat you or chastise you. That's why I keep saying don't multiply the sins in your household. I know none of us is perfect and we're all going to fall short of his glory. That is the way it is. I think it's detriment that I say that now in this time phrase, because they didn't have what we have in this time period. Like, we have screens of sin. We have everything we turn and touch can easily be turned to sin and unrighteousness and wickedness. Back then, fam, you got to get on a camel to go into where a Sodom and Gomorrah is. Like, you gotta really want to go to Sodom and Gomorrah if you live a couple of ways away. And that's like a day's traveling, a day's walking. Like, you gotta, in your mind, don't even have that post-nut clarity. You gotta, in your mind, get it in your mind that I'm gonna travel 4 or 5 days to go get raped by some men or go see child sex. Like, you really have to want that. Nowadays, you see how these politicians and people getting popped for child pornography and sex trafficking. It's like it's nothing. But that's where we are. And it says, therefore, all they that devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil you shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon you will I give for a prey. That's prophecy. And a lot of people talk this New Testament, Old Testament, don't matter. Man, you better stop all that. Because all the future prophecies in the Old Testament, this stuff don't change. Didn't the Most High say, I don't change? So that you sons of Jacob aren't consumed? It's the same thing with us being chastised and not being completely destroyed. We the only people, literally, that are intact. No one else is intact. No one knows if they're Greeks. No one knows they come from Javan. No one knows they come from Edom. No one knows they come from Japheth. No one knows they come from Ham or Canaan or Mizraim. No one knows. We are the only people walking this earth that completely know exactly now who we are and have not been destroyed. As much as we've been through captivities, we have not been destroyed completely. That's long-suffering grace and mercy or whatever you want to call it, but fam, this don't happen for no reason. This is not a fluke. This is not something that we should be taking lightly. And I try not to take it lightly. But this is what it says. In the end times, Americans, everybody walking around here like this Antichrist or Jesus is going to come back and save them. That is not who's going to be saved. Because Yahushua doesn't come on his own right. This is not Yahusha's commandments or Yahusha's plan. This is the Most High's plan. The Son is only enacting what the Father is going to do. Yahusha's always been a messenger for his Father. So when he comes back, what message you think he's bringing? He keep telling you, I didn't come to bring peace or joy. I come to bring a sword. I come to set man against his son, to set mother against daughter. It's supposed to be a divide in your household, especially when it comes to the truth. I stopped trying to fight with it. I just let it happen and know that I'm living in prophecy. But it says, in the end, therefore, all they that devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them. He didn't say some of them. He didn't say one of them. He didn't say two of them. He said every one of them. So look at every person that we went to captivity with, even into America, every one of them, every adversary shall go into captivity. They have, everybody had their reign to do whatever they wanted to do and listen to whoever doctrine they wanted to listen to, worship any god they wanted to worship, got money, got fame, got status, got lands, all that based on our captivity. It doesn't work without our captivity. Do you understand that? The reason why people are rich, the reason why all these billionaires got money was based off our captivity, because they didn't have to follow rules. The Most High didn't correct them and said, you're not following my Torah, because he didn't select them for them to follow it. So they went with Satan. They went with Freemasonry. They went with the Jesuits. They went with the Roman Catholic Church. They went with the Rothschilds. In order for them to be rich, they had to go that way. In order for them to go that way, their blessing was through our curses, because we didn't have equal footing. And we wasn't supposed to have equal footing, because we didn't follow the Torah and these laws. But all that changes. And the reason why Ezra and Baruch, I believe, was frustrated with this, and they said, well, what was the point of us even being born if we were just going to go through these curses? And the Most High had to correct them and said, well, how can you love my creation more than I? I know what I'm doing. But you remember the good times over the bad times. So basically, the people who are going to face devastation, they're right now, they're living in the high life. They're living the good times. They're not going to learn their lesson if they don't see the other side of it. We have seen the bad side of it. So we won't know true joy, peace, and happiness until the end part. We only know destruction. We only know failure. We only know humiliation, embarrassment. But we won't be able to know and understand and observe true joy, peace, and love without him coming into the picture and turning it all around. And he said, all that prey upon you, I will give for a prey. So imagine all your enemies that you grew up with, or people who took things from you or traumatized you or beat you down and all that. Just imagine that it's all going to come to fruition if they're still alive. It's all going to turn. So some of you are like, oh, this guy was really an asshole to me or whatever like that. Just know it's coming. I mean, through prayer, you can sing them out and get it caught that way, but it's going to happen anyway. If you messing with somebody, I mean, if you fighting or going to war with somebody at work, trust me, that's going to turn over. You're going to see their destruction literally 4K. You're going to see it real time. When it starts to bubble, trust me, you're going to see a lot of people who were living the high life off your labor, off your sweat, blood, and tears. You're going to see them panicking. And you won't be panicking because your overhead is not going to be too high. Their overhead is high. All your bosses, they got either what? They got a wife and a mistress probably. Or they got two mortgages. Or they got a boat. Or they got a plane. Or they travel. They got expenses. Trust me, when this system and this bank collapses, they're going to get hit first. Not everybody is a Freemason. Not all your bosses are Masonically affiliated. So they don't know exactly what's going to happen, but you do now, because you know it's based on numerology. You know it's based on numbers and what goes on in prophecy. You know this. So all you got to do is sit and wait. And it says, and all that prey upon you will I give for a prey. So if people owe you money, they're going to owe you double. If they owe you land, they're going to owe you double. If they owe you a sorry, they're going to owe you double. They're going to be humiliated and humbled. As long as you walk right, as long as you stay on plan and stay on path, you won't be with them. For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you for your I will heal you of your wounds, says Yahuwah, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeks after. And that's the end of it. Just don't be with a multitude of sins. And I think if you go to Jasher 43, and I just want to put this out there because we read scripture and Abraham was righteous. David was right. We read all these righteous people. But sometimes we forget these men, these women were human, that they did make mistakes, that we didn't know what kind of sins they were into, because it doesn't go into all of that. It goes into like the meat of the stories. But sometimes you find out not everybody was righteous. Jasher 43, verse 25. And this is when Joseph was fake killed. And the sons came and told them that they killed Joseph was killed by wolves. And they showed him the garment with blood on it, knowing that they sold him in captivity. And this is what they told their father. The father broke down and cried. And this is what Yaakov said. Jasher 43:25. Oh, that I had died in your stead, Joseph, my son, for it grieves me sadly for you, my son. Oh, my son, Joseph, my son, where are you? And where have you been drawn? Arouse, arouse from your place and come and see my grief for you, oh, my son, Joseph. Come now and number the tears and gushing from my eyes down my cheeks and bring them before Yahuwah, that his anger may turn from me. Oh, Joseph, my son, how did you fall? By the hand of one whom no one had fallen from the beginning of the world until this day. For you have been put to death by the smiting of an enemy, inflicted with cruelty. But surely I know that this has happened to you on the count on a multitude of my sins. Now we're talking about Yaakov, who got the ladder to heaven vision, who had the Most High talk to him and showed him in dreams, even sending an angel to wrestle with Yaakov. All of this was to try Yaakov. The whole time, we thinking Yaakov was the most righteous man ever, but he had multitude of sins, enough to be scared that he thought that Joseph being killed was on account of him. Now, we don't know what these multitude of sins were. And maybe this is the Most High correcting him that he never sought repentance for his sins. And this is what's to scare him into that. Like I said, I'm not going to try to say I know how the Most High think, because I don't. But it's just, it's amazing, like the things that we go through, even if it's not as bad as we think it is, but it's to get us in fear. That I always have that natural fear that to bring up the sins that we think we buried in our closet or buried in our past or buried in our foolishness or buried in the dark, that we think it won't come up and something happens to us that put us back in fear. We remember those sins. We remember things that we've done that were transgressed that we knew wasn't right. And by doing so, we pray or we seek Yahuwah, because we know anytime we walk in our walk or walk in our righteousness, and anytime we fall off or we get punished or chastised, we know exactly where it comes from. People who are ignorant don't know where it comes from, and they keep blaming other people and don't know it's you the whole time. We can blame this person. We can blame that person. We can blame our parents. We can blame our bosses. We can complain and blame our workplaces. We could just do it. We could keep blaming people. But at the end of the day, our actions, our deeds, and what we believe in and who we serve is what will oppress us, repress us, or save us. So if we're not following or serving a righteous endeavor, we will get punished and chastised. And you want to get punished and chastised and learn this information now, because there's a lot of people walking through this life not getting punished and chastised or getting done or being wicked. And that's where we go to scripture and we find out who the reprobates are. So if you're getting chastised and disciplined and all that, that's a good thing. That means somebody upstairs cares about you. Of all the people in this world, billions of people in this world, and if you're getting chastised and understanding this truth, that is a good thing. If you're not, I would be scared. I would be pissing buckets, because then you're going to find out the other way. Like I said in scripture in Jeremiah, you're going to be prey. You're going to be cut down. You're going to be humbled. I don't want to be humbled that way. If anything, drag me kicking and screaming out of what I'm supposed to be doing. Kicking and screaming. So I can understand exactly this walk I'm on. That's the whole point of this. is to find someone you can serve higher than yourself and get disciplined and saved, and so you understand what goes on so you can stop blaming. And this is all the system does. The system gets you to blame each other. While they take, while they do a money grab, a land grab, a medical grab, while they getting rich off our ignorance, we're fighting amongst ourselves because we don't know who our enemies are. We assume everybody's out to get us. And we have no idea that spiritual influence causes our downfalls. Our flesh causes our downfall. And it all based on who you choose to serve. If you choose to serve this world, you're going to have world problems. If you choose to serve Yah, you at least going to have spiritual problems. And it's having spiritual problems is a good thing. Because then it tightens you up. Then it prepares you. Iron sharpens iron. When you're in this world, iron is not sharpening iron in this world, especially in these last days. It's making you more insecure. It's making you more vain. It's making you more weak. And a brother asked me, he said, well, how do I fight against, or how should I fight against the feminist ideology? Like, bro, if you in your walk, you're already beating it. Scripture always says the devil already, he's already a loser. Satan's already a loser. And if you know the genetic makeup of Satan, if you know his story, he got daddy issues. He want to be like his father. He feel like he don't get enough credit. He's insecure. He's invalidated. And I'm talking about he's not like a regular angel. He's a cherubim. The most beautiful, glorious looking angel, as far as what, how Ezekiel described him, or he is described in scripture, he ain't ugly. So where do you think all this vanity, vain stuff comes from? All this insecurity comes from in this system? It comes from him. So there's no need to fight feminist ideology or fight the trans agenda. There's no reason to fight it. You're already beating it. That goes with the music you listen to. Another brother asked me the same questions. Like, oh, I find myself listening to old school. Fam, that's because you're vibrating higher. When you vibrate higher, you beat a lot of the doctrines in this system. When you rise up, you stop caring about sports. You rise up, you stop caring about celebrities. You rise up, you stop caring about BS. That's natural. I've always been an old soul. So I listen to 50s, 60s movies since I was my teenage years. I no longer listen to rap. And even listen to, I can't even really listen to a lot of truth rap because they still use a low vibrational beat. Trying to rap today's lingo or lyrics using the Most High is just, to me, it throws me off a little bit. So I stay with lo-fi chill music. With music, I don't even know what they're saying. But I know the beat is not drill beat. I know it's not the devil's tritone. Which is why I don't know why brothers chose to rap. And you use the, because the Most High is listening to people sing to him every single day. From, if you read scripture, that's what they're doing. Right now, he's listening to a symphony of people singing his praises every single day, every single minute. There is nobody up there rapping drill beat to the Most High. Which is why I don't know why people do it here. But I get, you know, when you got a gift, you got gifts. But that, at the end of the day, that's what we need to really focus on. And that's where we are in these end days. They're trying to destroy this land their way, to trap us into climate control, trap us into paying a carbon tax. And you don't know where that carbon tax is going to pop up. Imagine you get your check back and it's like, oh yeah, we're going to charge you $3 or $4 because you walk to the copying machine to make copies. I mean, it's going to happen, family. I hope it ain't going to be that severe, but it's going to be enough to, people going to be scared, disheveled, freak out or panic. And we ain't even gotten to the blackouts yet. So just imagine this place goes dark. People can't get on social media, can't do nothing. They won't know how to live their life if they can't be on Instagram. And they showed you this. They showed you how people act when Instagram and Facebook go down. People act like they lost their minds when TikTok go down. People act like, oh, they go to other apps to find out why other apps are shutting down. And nothing passes, it doesn't pass their mind that they've been flipping the switch on and off to see how you will react to it. So then they know exactly who to box in and who to manipulate and who to drive you to when they really shut these apps down. That's why it's so important, because I talk about the calendars and the scheduling and the feast days and holidays. That's why it's important for you to start looking for that information yourself and start understanding the right Shabbat and right feast days. And it's all told to you in the Book of Enoch. All you got to do is look at the moon. If the moon is a certain way, then this is the month that we're on. And you just count 30 days or whatever, because it's so easy. It just says 364 days, and it should be 364 days, period. It should be all balanced and equal. You need to start teaching yourself. I can't keep telling you this. You need to start teaching yourself how to go outside and paying attention to the moon, which is good anyway. You should want to go outside and look at the Most High's creations, because he created it and started giving him his props and due for the moon to look the way it looks. Like, it's amazing to me that the moon can look really big up close and it had different tints and all that. Like, that's the Most High showing off. To go from a blood moon to a yellow moon to a full moon to a big moon to a new moon. That's Most High showing off. Like, when you look on, when you watch TV and you see all these colorful fish that could do all these amazing things, give the Most High his credit. That's the Most High telling y'all, like, I could do more. I've done more than what you see here up in heaven, up past this firmament. Once you take yourself out of it and take your self-reflection and your self-appeasement and your self-gratification out of his works and just give him his due, you'll see a lot of things change for you. You have completely different understanding of why the things are the way they are, so you're never scared by why things happen the way they happen. If you read just a little bit of scripture and understand his children and understand what he did with the first righteous people that struggled through their multitude of sins. So you're not the only one. If the Most High can show himself to Abraham and show himself to Yaakov and never showed himself to Esau, never showed himself to none of his children, if he's shown himself to Abraham and Yaakov, and we know that they had trials and tribulations and tests and multitude of sins that they had to fight through, just know he could do the same thing for you. Peace.